Albert Einstein is quoted as saying, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." People call Albert Einstein a genius for good reason. Longtime listeners of this podcast will remember that Oracle and Google were embroiled in a lawsuit over Google's use of Java, specifically the Java APIs. And on two occasions, federal courts have ruled in Google's favor. Oracle, not knowing when to quit a fight, is suing a third time over Google's use of the Java API. While that news is playing out in the media, there have been other reports about unfortunate things occurring at Oracle at the moment. So since we have not talked about Oracle too much, and there seems to be some kind of recurring theme about Oracle getting into fights with people, this week we are dedicating an episode to Oracle and their trials and tribulations. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 60. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last week. Verizon has acquired a Portland startup called Skyward. This company makes drone software. I wasn't even aware that Verizon was interested in using drones, but apparently they are, and this acquisition of Skyward helps commercial drone operators in industries such as construction and film production more efficiently track, connect, and manage drones. Apparently this also includes the management of digital logbooks, pilot credentials, and real-time air charts. Terms of this acquisition were not disclosed. And speaking of Verizon, it looks like their acquisition of Yahoo is finally going to happen, and they are getting a $350 million discount, which is $100 million more than was reported over the weekend via TechCrunch. I've already shared my feelings about Verizon's acquisition of Yahoo. I'll repeat, I think it's unnecessary since they already own AOL. Instead of spending billions of dollars on a company like Yahoo when they already own AOL, and again, I want to make it clear that it might have been a good idea to buy Yahoo if you didn't already own Yahoo 1.0, which was called AOL. But instead of spending billions of dollars on Yahoo, they should really follow AT&T's lead in purchasing a multimedia company like Time Warner, where you're generating true content, and then they would have a situation like Comcast, where you are transmitting the data, you own the pipes, you're generating content, you're generating ad revenue, and you're diversifying your portfolio. Having an AOL and a Yahoo under the same umbrella, not that impressive, guys, even with your $350 million discount. Rant over. So on to our main story, Oracle. Let's frame this week, starting with the third version of this lawsuit with Google. Oracle has spent 7 years claiming that Google has plagiarized their code. They have lost two federal lawsuits, and yet they try a third time. One has to respect their fortitude, and I suspect, given the current political climate in Washington, that they may find a more friendly judge than in previous years. I have to think this is why they're doing this. So a little summary. In 2010, Oracle sued Google, claiming that the search giant infringed on its intellectual property, specifically Java and the API code, for use in the Android operating system. In 2012, Google won. The U.S. District Court in San Francisco ruled that the code was not subject to copyright law, and thus Oracle had no case. In 2014, a federal appeals court reversed the 2012 ruling. That 2014 win made the code subject to copyright law, as well as all software that's written to interface with the programming language or application. In 2016, which we covered on this podcast many times, a jury at the same U.S. District Court in San Francisco, which ruled in Google's favor in 2012, found that although the Java API code was now subject to copyright, Google's use of it did not constitute infringement, and Oracle was thus denied the $9 billion it was seeking. So let's take that information, keep it in your head, but let's shift to another Oracle topic. A few weeks ago, there was a Seeking Alpha article, and you know how much I love Seeking Alpha. They usually beat up IBM, but they have turned their attention towards Oracle this week. The Seeking Alpha article first paints a picture of the current database market. 80% of that market is owned by Oracle, IBM, and Microsoft. But of that 80%, Oracle reigns supreme. Of the entire commercial database market share in 2016, Oracle owns 45.6%. But all of these companies, and especially Oracle, are now facing a threat with the software as a service market. Companies are migrating to software as a service, where most of the offerings use free open source databases. Another issue that the article points out is that due to the growth of social media and unstructured data, Oracle's losing market share because standard SQL is not well suited for that sort of data. Those open source databases that we mentioned earlier apparently are much better for that unstructured data use. And then basically all of the other improvements that's happening with computing and networking are rising up to kind of cover all of the other issues that maybe those free open source databases can't do, but they're livable because of the improvements in everything else. The Seeking Alpha article basically says that the company's decline in projected database revenue is distinct from, in addition to, the decline of its on-premise application revenue, which accounted for 25% of 2016's total revenue and 39% of their operating profit. While Microsoft and IBM are also seeing declines, they're not hurt as badly because those databases only account for less than 5% of their revenue. We've been seeing Oracle try to get into the cloud space and try to increase their revenue in non-database products. There was a slew of acquisitions last year. They're latecomers to the cloud, and we've talked about this before because Larry Ellison initially was not a believer in cloud. He thought it was a gimmick, and now they're transitioning to a heavy cloud solution. But are they too late? Now let's temporarily leave that issue and focus on the third thing that happened this week. There's a class action lawsuit claiming that Oracle stiffed their salespeople out of commissions. A former employee based out of Modesto, who sold software for Oracle for 16 months, alleged in a lawsuit that she worked for months without receiving commissions that she earned. And Oracle had forced her to give back commission money she had already received. The lawyer representing Marcella Johnson also said that an estimated 1,000 to 2,000 salespeople at the company were also affected by what she calls Oracle's replanning. I have no idea if this lawsuit has any merit, but it's just interesting timing. So let's put all three of these stories together. Go Ultra Force! You have a company that is losing market share with their cash cow. People are using their databases less, and they're finding alternatives for a variety of reasons. As their market share and thus their profits drop, they're looking for other ways to bring in income. They happen to have this Java asset, which is being used by a lot of companies, a lot of technology companies. And they think that they have an opportunity to get more money out of the Java use to help bolster up their income. It makes perfect sense from that perspective. The lawsuits certainly don't cost billions of dollars. And I suspect if they keep hammering away at it, they're eventually going to pull in some kind of money, profit, or change the legal standing of the situation that will help them in future cases. Should this be a celebrated method to derive additional income? Probably not. I've said this before in previous podcasts, but I'll say it again. When I look at an Oracle and I look at an IBM, they both have their issues, and blogs like Seeking Alpha like to point out that they have not properly transitioned into the new computing world, this cloud-based world. But when I look at an Oracle and I look at an IBM, I see more strategy with the acquisitions that IBM is trying to make them successful in the future. Oracle's acquisitions seem a little bit more desperate. They seem like attempts at increasing their cloud customer base to report those numbers, but there doesn't seem to be an overall strategy of the products and the services they want to produce in the future. And that's my own personal opinion. Oracle has a great product. It's a product that ultimately needs to evolve, and they clearly seem to be in the process of doing that. But is the market going to wait for them to catch up? And as their revenue and sales take a hit, are they taking that out on their salespeople? I truly find that hard to believe, because if they really anger their sales force and those people leave, that's going to be another nail in their coffin. But in areas outside of Silicon Valley and in California, maybe there's not as many opportunities, and maybe they know that. And those salespeople around the rest of the country may not have as many opportunities to work at a world-class technical organization, so maybe they're willing to take the hit. And again, that's me hypothesizing. I have absolutely no idea. It's just an intriguing trio of events that have occurred at the same time period that has me wondering. If you've listened to previous podcasts, you know I like to make a little fun of Oracle because of some of their crazy lawsuits, and they have this one lawyer, which I'm not going to mention her name, but she gives great press. But I really don't want to see that company fail. Like I said before, they have great products. Yes, they have a reputation for being extremely difficult to deal with, but they still have the best traditional database on the market. They are investing heavily in cloud, and I think that if they follow through on what they're saying, they will have a very competitive product at some point in the future. So I truly hope that the company succeeds, they remain strong, competitive, and continue to provide alternative product solutions that increases competition and drives prices down. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.